It seems that you were not the only Democratic governor that was going to be targeted for an investigation.
Oh, that's true. There were five others. Yeah, Wendell Ford in Kentucky, Milt Schaff in Pennsylvania, Edwin Edwards in Louisiana, and others. Jack Anderson, over a period of years, documented all this, and that was where we would get some of the information that we had not been able to get anywhere else. We had a meeting in Clearwater, Alabama, in which 19 governors were there, 19 Democrat governors, all of whom, at one time or another, had been investigated by the administration, some more like myself than others. But that's 19 out of 35 sitting governors. Understand, in the 1970 campaign, the Democrats won 35 governorships, the Republicans 15.
You took on the oil industry with the gross production tax. Were there those in the oil business who decided they didn't like you?
Yes, but believe it or not, it was only the local oil industry people in Oklahoma, and particularly the local independent oil men. The people in Gulf, Shell, all of the major companies supported me. The reason was very interesting. Most states, like California, Louisiana, had upped the gross production tax as much as 5 to 10%. Oklahoma, very modest, 2%. And it did not affect the planning of the major oil companies like Shell, because they knew what we found out, that oil was going to go up in price the next 4 years, regardless of what happened. So at the time I went in office, oil was selling for about $3.75 a barrel. In the end of my 4 years, almost $10.75 a barrel. That 2% was not only just completely absorbed by the increase, but every independent oil man in Oklahoma who fought me made more money than he had ever made during those 4 years.
Mm-hmm. Enter the name of U.S. Attorney, former head of the Republican Party, William Burkett.
Burkett was the Republican campaign chairman for Dewey Bartlett at the time that Bartlett ran against me. He was another that was just incensed when we beat Bartlett. And it was a personal thing that looked like he hadn't done his job.
Just a note here about your inauguration day. I noticed Reverend Ben Hill and Oral Roberts were there. Were you friends with Oral Roberts?
Good friends. Oral Roberts got a lot of bad publicity for things that he really shouldn't have been credited with. He was a man on a mission who believed that the Lord worked through him. He never represented that he could heal people, like many people said. But he felt like that the Lord worked through him to help people. Oral had been a good friend of mine in Tulsa, and I very, very strongly supported him and asked him to be one of the two religious speakers at my inauguration. And Ben Hill, who I considered the leader of the black community religious people, I wanted him to be the other. And it was fascinating. Oral, who is a major television star in the religious field, was upstaged by Ben Hill's poignant, oh, his prayer was just gripping. It wasn't that long, but he prayed first, and then Oral was to be the end, and I think Oral really found it difficult.
Wow. The state treasurer, Leo Winters, said, watch your back.
Yes. He had had so many slings and arrows at him that he warned me all during the campaign. He was a very good advisor during the campaign and helped me avoid many pitfalls.
Sonny Jenkins, tell us about him. He comes to you with a fundraising scam.
Well, it wasn't a scam at that time. I think Tony legitimately wanted to help me get elected, but he apparently got just entranced with what money could be raised and decided that he would profit himself by it. I thought he was a loyal friend for almost 2 years, and then I realized that he was secreting part of the money he was raising and, in effect, saying that I was a part of it.
So you have the IRS and the FBI investigating you?
Oh, yeah. Starting from April of 1971.
You had a former private secretary, Dorothy Pike.
Right.
And they recruited her.
Interestingly enough, you can say they recruited her, but what it was, they thought Dorothy Pike, who had been my secretary, would have all kinds of knowledge about illegal activities, which she did not have. They secreted her in a secret safe house in Falls Church, Virginia, so that we could not subpoena her and expose the fact that the IRS and the FBI had done this. That was when Stephen Chandler disbarred Burkett for what Chandler considered a false statement made to the court in that hearing.
So all of this is going on. The seeds of Watergate were planted, beginning to germinate in 1971. Pentagon Papers had been published, the secret history of the Vietnam conflict. The plumbers formed by the Nixon White House burglarized the offices of Daniel Ellsberg, former defense analyst who leaked the Pentagon Papers. When did you become really suspicious that they are also coming on to you?
Not until September of 1972. Now, by September of 72, I was already eyeing a possible run for national office in 1976 and were being helped in organizing some of the states that I thought would be key, New York and California being the most important ones to me, and about nine others that we had modest work in. But that's the first time that I became aware of it. It was through my former law partner in Washington, Ron Goldfarb, and others of his acquaintance who began to give me rumors of possible problems with the IRS. I didn't know about the FBI portion of this until almost 1973.
Did you say, "I'm clean, come after me"? How did that make you feel?
Well, anytime anybody's going to investigate, you're going to be nervous. I'll give you an example. This was the second time in my career that I'd had allegations made against me. When I was county attorney, a group of right-wing extremists accused me of being a part of the communist-Jewish conspiracy to subvert the Tulsa Unified School District. They created a petition to call a grand jury, got 200 signatures, and a grand jury was called to investigate me, and I had to step aside and let the attorney general investigate me for 3 weeks in my office. It was absolutely false. L.G. Burt, the man who circulated the petition, a very disturbed right-winger, after I was cleared, poor Mr. Burt was declared mentally incompetent and died in Vinita in the state hospital within, I think, 3 or 4 years. Hmm. Very sad, very sad. But I'd already been through that, and so knowing I was innocent, when this other issue came up, at first, I didn't give it as much credence because I wasn't sure that they were that serious and that after they'd gone through my records and this first grand jury was called and found nothing and they dissolved and then another one was called in 1973, that's when I really, really got worried. That's when I hired my own counsel, we hired investigators, and we began to work our side of the case. But we had not within 10 times enough money to combat the IRS and the FBI.